Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting podcast. Visit our website at www.oalaig.org, where you'll find three separate speaker feeds with over 400 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Colleen. Hi, I'm Colleen, recovering compulsive reader and bulimic.
Hi, Colleen.
And I always get nervous. I'm always nervous. Welcome to the newcomers, and congratulations to the chip takers, and it's an honor and a privilege to be of service and to be in this program. And I have pictures, which I'll pass around, and for those who can see the photos, like some of these photos, this is like 2 months apart and like 50 pounds different. This is the only picture, the heaviest I've ever been, and I like ripped up any other photos I've taken. And I think there's other, like, just, you can just see the extreme highs and lows, and that's just kind of what I wanted to show. So what used to be like, what happened and what it's like now, just for the newcomers, like, if you don't identify with my problem, you're not going to identify with my solution. And I was eating, like, food was my comfort. The things I would do is I would eat my roommate's food and replace it, and then eat down back to where the cookies were. It's so funny because I don't remember a lot of events in my life, but I remember what cake I had at someone's graduation, but I don't remember whose graduation it was. Or, I call it the food fog because I don't remember. I have so many blank memories, and it's because either I was eating or trying to lose weight, or trying to, you know, keep it off. Like, the mental rat wheel was always going. And I'm doing a big book study with my sponsees right now, and so it's interesting to remember a lot of things that I used to do. So I've been in program, people like numbers, I'll say numbers. I've been in program almost like 9 years. I have 4.5 years of abstinence, and then I broke my abstinence, and then I have another 4.5. And in 9 years, I have not stocked a bathroom. I have not, I'm so nervous. I don't know why I'm so nervous today. I used to make all these charts and graphs and how many pounds I would lose, and, you know, 10 weeks out I'd lose, you know, 20 pounds, and, used to do mail order diet pills because that back then there was no internet and you have to do mail orders. And while I was eating like this big Toby's muffin, it was called Toby's muffin where I grew up, and then like eating a box of muffins and then taking diet pills, like that's just all craziness. And so in 9 years, I haven't taken any diet pills. I haven't stocked any bathrooms. But I had lost my abstinence. But I got it back right away. And, you know, I'm still so nervous. I can't believe I'm so nervous. I'd just be crazy about the food. Just crazy. And I would use laxatives. I got into laxatives because there's like sugar pill or sugarless candies that would give you a side effect. And I would do that. I would compulsively exercise. I have been 50 pounds overweight, and I'm 15 pounds less than I am right now. And I'm 5'10", and so I'm not a little girl, but I'm not skinny or anything like that. And at my bottom weight, I was never happy. Like, at my thinnest, I was just crazy. All I could think about was how many carrots I'm going to eat that day, how many miles I'm going to swim, how many, you know, counting calories in my head. I was just not present. And OA has given me such a gift, because, you know, I don't stalk the chocolate bunny in the break room anymore. And so what happened was, is I came into program because I went to Weight Watchers, and what they taught me was portion control, but they didn't teach me, it wasn't a spiritual program, and OA has given me something I haven't, and it was really hard when you're, and if you're new, like, don't worry about, like, keep coming back, and all the slogans. I thought the slogans were so cheesy when I came in here. And this, it's like learning another language. And so just keep coming back. It will all make sense. And so what happened was I was like going, I went to Weight Watchers, and of course I was successful. But then I started putting the weight back on. I started binging again. And I was like bursting out of my Ann Taylor pants. And I'm like, I'm desperate. You know, thank God I had the gift of desperation. And that's what got me to OA and has kept me here. And so I came to OA desperate, overweight, crazy. And what OA has given me is sanity. Like, I have sanity today. I realize I have choices today. Like, I can, I don't need to go for food on a daily basis, which I would do. And some things I've learned over a program is, like, food, I use food, and food was my, like, my friend. It was everything I went to, and so the other thing I'm not supposed to do is skip meals. And I didn't skip a meal, but I need to eat again. So I lost track of my mind. I'm going to go back to, so food was my comfort, my companion, everything. And so when I came to program, I had to be grateful that food got me through the most painful part of my life. And I had to acknowledge and thank my disease because it helped me walk through what I needed to walk to. I wasn't present, but it got me through what I needed to walk to. So this is a perfect addition to where self-care comes in, where I've been running around all day, went for a swim, and I haven't had my snack before because I'm going to go home and eat dinner. And so I'm working out with my sponsors because I get into trouble when I don't take care of myself, and then I would go home and eat the house, eat whatever's there, box of cereal, muffins, cakes, because I didn't do my self-care. So it's pretty funny that I'm doing it in front of everybody. Okay, so I'll talk about the substance that's right in front of me. That we are powerless over food and our lives have become unmanageable. Thank you. So with, you know, when I was taking laxatives and basically shitting my pants because I couldn't get to the bathroom in time, that was, my life was unmanageable. And, that is not even a part of my life today. Like, I don't even think about taking laxatives. I don't think about, like, how many calories I'm eating today. Thank God has removed my obsession from that. And who came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And my life was so insane, like just the going shopping, compulsive exercising, you know, just the rat wheel would go on and on. And when I got here, I had to believe that God would restore me to sanity. I didn't believe that He would restore me to sanity, but I had to believe that He would. And three was to make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. And, you know, the whole God thing was so freaky when I came. Like, if people told me you had to believe in God when I got here, I would have left skin marks. Like, no one said I had to do anything. Just keep coming back. Just stay until you hear your story. And so I do the first three steps to the best of my ability every day. I'm choking on it. And so what I try to do is, like, I'm in bed, and that's when I know how to do it. Like, if I get on a bed, my day's like a match, and it's hard to, like, get everything done that I want to do. So I pray in bed, and pray wherever you can. If you have to pray in your car, if you pray on your way to work, pray in the bathroom, whatever you need to do, pray where you need to pray. And so I say the first three steps before I even get out of bed, because that small step gives me some clarity and freedom before I even get running through the day. And made a searching and fearless moral inventory ourselves is step four. And like things I've learned that I've done before program is I was not present with my partner when it came to be time to be intimate. I was thinking I was too fat. I just binged. I was not going to, you know, like get intimate. I feel so fat, you know, and I'd be, just so not present. And, but I was never, like, I would bend over backward for people. So I, like, didn't have a lot of amends to make and on that respect. But I had a lot of amends to make to myself. How much, like, the way my head would talk to me, like, the negativity in my head. Like, I would never speak to another person like that, but I would speak to myself like that. And so, like, I had to make amends to myself first before, and treat myself like I would somebody else. Because I just, my disease is so, is of negativity and amnesia. Like, I forget a little food program. Oh, yeah, the Serenity Prayer. I can say the Serenity Prayer. And that's why I keep coming back, because I keep forgetting, like, all the different tools that we have available for, that are available to us. And, like, the one thing one of my sponsors told me is, like, you need, like, when I first got here, she's like, you need to go buy new panties. Because, like, it's always an inside job. We need to take care of ourselves first and foremost. And, so, like, buying new panties, buying new clothes. And I had a hard time when I first got here. Like, I was so angry at the weight I was at. And it wasn't extremely obese, but for me, like, I would have killed myself if I would have gotten any heavier. And that's where I get, like, this disease can bring me down. And so, like, she's like, you have to be where you are today. So if today you're size 20, go buy some new pants, like one outfit. You need to have one nice outfit so you're not schlepping around in your sweatpants and your, you know, saggy underwear. Like, she's like, you need to go and get new clothes, because that's where it starts, an inside job. We let our higher power in. And so that's first things I learned when I came here. Another thing I had to do when I came here was, my thinking wasn't working for me, obviously, because I came to program and I was so tired of binging and purging and running around in craziness. And she's like, if you want to, it's like the patterns. Like, if you want to change your patterns, you need to start changing your life. And the first thing that she had me do when I came to program was drive home a different way. So that meant if I forgot, I had to, like, back up out of the car, go around the block once, and park back in. Because what it is we get off autopilot. We start, we drive a different way home. Like, I learned, like, six different ways to get home now. And I still try to, like, go to work, drive to work a different way, because then if I do things differently, I'm going to see and be open to new suggestions and new ways of life. And if I'm just, like, on autopilot, focused, with my horse blinders on, running my life the way I think I need to, I'm not going to be, like, I can't let God in that way. And so, so higher power is one of the things that was really hard for me when I got here. Like, if you would have said church or God, I'm out of here. I don't want to hear that. But they, you know, what I heard here was, you can choose your own form of God. And, so, like, when I first got here, like, I feel connected to, like, the oceans, to the national parks. And so that's where I go when I'm feeling struggling. Like, I make regular dates with my higher power. I go out and I go see the ocean. I go out, and it's not about the hike. It's about being present, being with nature, hearing birds sing, seeing the dolphins, like, swim. Like, I love just going down, and no one else can see the dolphins because they're so busy, like, focusing on themselves. I'm like, oh, my God, there's a whole, you know, pack of dolphins out there. And that's where I see my higher power. And, some days I'm on strike with my higher power. I'm like, I'm on strike. I don't like any way you're doing this. And it's okay. Like, one of my sponsors says, it's okay if, like, you say F you to your higher power. It's okay, because you're still communicating. You're still trying to connect with your higher power. And, like, I don't do that often. I don't recommend it. But as long as the attempt to make the communication is there. And, like, what I learned in, like, 9 years ago, I never did any meditation. And now it is a big part of my life. And I have, like, a little, I have a Buddha statue. You can have whatever you want, with seashells and a little plant that's dying. And so when I walk by, and I'm like, oh, higher power. Oh, higher power. You know, like, it's a reminder for me to, like, take 30 seconds and say, there's another, to let in the sunlight of the spirit, because that's what I get in this program, with my higher power and the sunlight of the spirit. Like, I get to be present. I get to, like, I'm not in my negative disease. Yeah. So I'll just talk a little bit about my relapse. I traveled around the world, quit my job, sold everything I owned, and traveled around the world. And it was an amazing experience, and I could not have done that without program. And so I learned how, like, part of my abstinence is, I have an abstinence that I can go to any country on earth and still be abstinent. It's not rigid for me. Like, I hear a lot of people are so rigid. And if that works for you, great. rigidity does not work for me. Like, I was so rigid myself. Like, I don't need someone else's whip to whip me because I was very good at whipping myself. And so I made it around the world, and I said, okay, I'll take this job in Switzerland and be a nanny. And that was hindsight. Like, what I should have done is given my 2 weeks notice when it wasn't working out. But I'm like, oh, no, like, I have to be perfect. Like, I can't quit on my assignment. And this is where it kind of goes back to self-care. Like, I need to take care of myself first so I can be of service to my higher power and to others. And I was so unhappy there. Like, she was very rigid, very strict. Like, she wouldn't let me have my own food in the refrigerator. And it just didn't work out. And so I started, like, doing the behaviors. So that's what's triggering me. If my program starts to slide, I'm, like, sneaking food. I'm eating in the bathroom. I have to, like, go back. And in Switzerland, it was not that easy to replace something because the stores close at 6 o'clock. And I had to, like, run out and, like, find, like, a gas station so I could replace the food. And, like, that's when I know, like, I started slipping. And there was one meeting a week in Zurich, and it was like a $40 train ride to get there because it was really far out. And when I should have gone, as hindsight I can say, like, I should have gone when I could before. So when I got in trouble, I had a support system. And this was before OA was on the internet and everything else. And they would translate the meeting in German to English for me. And, like, that is something, like, I have, like, people in OA who, I mean, like, that's a huge service. Like, stop the meeting, translate. So the one person who couldn't understand German, they translated it for. And there's a girl who let me stay at her house a couple times, and I actually turned over a step. And still, because I was so bending over backward for this person I worked for in Switzerland, that's where I ease, where I'm so frustrated. And I feel overwhelmed, unloved, unwelcome. That's when I go for the food. And so I broke my abstinence. I ate through Zurich, and I purged. And then, I was in abstinence for a weekend. And that Monday, July 1st, is when I got back on the horse. And, like, I knew program was there. None of you guys would have known I broke my abstinence. Like, you guys, who cares, you know? But for me, I knew that I had to be honest. And that's the one big thing program has taught me, is I have to be honest. If I'm not honest, you know, what's the point of lying to my sponsor about my food? There's no point. And you just add that to your amends and things like that. So what I really learned is to be honest here. And honest about my food, honest about what's going on. Okay, so this is a perfect, so what I want to talk about a little bit is also for the people who have been in program for a while, like, my program gets really, like, mundane. Like, go to the same meetings, and, you know, I get on cruise control. When I'm on cruise control, like, yeah, I can do it, but then, you know, I have a little bit more crackers that night, or I eat foods that are a little bit more triggering. And so some things that have helped me is, like, be of service. I started a big book meeting with my sponsees. That has helped out immensely. And, like, when I want to, I found, like, one of the reasons why I started the meeting is because I was feeling fat, and I wanted to lose weight. And, no matter how much I focus on how much weight I want to lose, like, it doesn't work. Like, if I'm trying to do anything, it's not going to happen. And I had these pair of jeans that I wanted to get into. And, when it's up to me, it's not going to happen. So if when I focus on the program, I focus on calling others, like, take the perspective off the food and into program, it, like, the weight just fell off. Like, I didn't even have to do anything. And so, I found that very helpful. It's like, there's so many, we were so lucky in LA to have so many meetings, but if someone could start a meeting in another area or another part of town, because, like, Zurich had one meeting a week, that's all they had. And I wanted to, not that anyone wanted to call me now, but I want to get my email out, because I know this is broadcast, to people around the world, and my email is c.waterbaby@gmail.com. And feel free to, email me, and because I realized, like, we're so lucky in Los Angeles to have so many programs, but, you know, to have people, you know, I went to meetings in New Zealand and Australia and Zurich, and it's just amazing, like, how, what, what's been started here has been shared around the world, and I just was so grateful that those meetings were there, and so to kind of give back what I've been given. And, okay, so I used to be like, so you can tell my blood sugar's coming back. What happens now? So a little bit of talk about what happens, what I do now is, I'm also an Al-Anon. I'm not going to share that here because this is an OA meeting, but I find that OA, Al-Anon has also helped me in my life as well. So I go to 3 meetings a week. I do my best, the best of my ability. I email my sponsor my food. And that has really, like, I have been in program a long time. Sometimes I email my food, sometimes I don't. But I found, like, when I email my food is clean. I don't know what the magic is in that, but it is. And so I email my sponsor my food. I go 3 meetings a week. I say the first 3 steps before I get out of bed. I try to do meditation, and it really kind of waxes and wanes. But the biggest thing is, like, just stay in contact with my higher power. And, obviously do the steps. Like, some people, like, I go to the meetings and I feel better. When I do the step work, I get better. I sponsor others. And I'm not so good at outreach calls. I have to admit that. But I will definitely, when people call me, I really try to call them back. And I work nights, weekends, and holidays. I work 12-hour shifts or longer. And so this is kind of a great example of how I wasn't prepared enough. But, like, this is what I'm learning. I get to keep learning a program where I have to learn to, like, eat a big breakfast before I go into work. It may be 8 hours before I get my lunch break. And so, like, now I carry this. Everyone has my little Trader Joe's packets. Like, I keep those in my pocket. So when I feel like this at work, because I get restless, irritable, discontent. And I am not a nice nurse. I'm trying to say that. I am not a nice person when I'm hungry. And as you can see, like, I'm, like, shaky and everything else. And so that's what I'm currently working on in the program. And so, like, I boil my little hard-boiled eggs, and I have them, like, in my, so, like, when I'm running out the door, because I just woke up and I'm going to go to a meeting or whatever, because I worked the last 4 nights, like, I have something there for me. And the little Trader Joe's bags are good. And so, like, I'm learning to cook again and learning to cook what's healthy. And, you know, I also learned, like, even though I get to eat foods that are yummy for me. Like, if I don't have a meal that feels satisfying at work, of course, when they walk in the box of donuts, I'm going to want donuts. And that's just not part of my food for me. So part of my abstinence is what I meant to say before my blood sugar dropped, is no dieting. I don't get to diet. I no purging. I don't binge like I used to binge, and I certainly don't. I can't say I never binge, but it's like I do not like eat bags of cookies and boxes of cookies and chips and things like that. And I, to the best of my ability, I don't binge. But that's kind of, I have some leeway there. I mean, that's not the wrong way I'm saying it. I don't binge, but it's like for me, if one raisin's too many, then I felt it feels like a binge to me. So it's very kind of, like for me, there's a lot of gray area. I'll just open it up for questions, and that way I can keep more focused. So I apologize, and thanks for letting me share. I'm going to say this. So the question is, how do I stay in contact with my higher power? And, like I say, like I, for me, any sort of praying works for me, like whatever comes out. So I pray before I get out of bed. That's my main thing. I go for walks and I see the high, like I'm actually part of it when I drive in, if I have to take the time and take 5 more minutes and drive, because I live near the beach, and I go up on this hill, and I can see from Catalina to Point Doom, and I purposely drive up there to spend 30 seconds and say, thank you, higher power. I can see there's a power greater than myself. I can't even see across the ocean. And so I ask him to be of service, to show me patience, tolerance, and kindness for others. And, you know, I hear God through other people. When I go to meetings, I'm like, oh, I hear that. Like, so I hear God through other people. And I think that meditation's really helped with just getting quiet. Because in my mind, I'll be like, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I got a million things to do. But when I sit there and meditate and just count my breaths, or part of my meditation is on like, I'm happy, joyous, and free. And the other thing is gratitude lists. Sorry, tangent from that question, but with gratitude lists, like if I'm all negative, my life sucks, and I have to work, and like if I like make a list of my sponsor making you do not 3 gratitudes, but 20 gratitudes. So I'm like, I'm grateful for toilet paper, I'm grateful for shampoo, I'm grateful for, you know, people who carry cheese in their pockets. I get that on my gratitude list. And because my disease is such negative thinking, and so like that's been a huge part of my gratitude. So the plan was, when I work 13 hours, how do I come home and basically not reach for the food? Mm-hmm. It depends on what shift I do, because I do nights, days, mid shifts, I do all that. And so what I try to do is like I have, like if a night shift, I have a nice standard meal before I walk in, and then I carry the little things in my pocket, and I'll have like a yogurt at like 5 in the morning, so when I come home I'm not going to eat the house. And that's another thing I've learned in this program, is like I have to prevent myself from being so hungry that I go home and eat the house, because I will definitely do that. Some other things I do is I get to eat not fun food, but like if I'm eating, you know, tuna and rice cakes, I'm gonna reach for the food. So I get to eat foods like I have a protein, a starch, and a vegetable, a fruit or vegetable with every meal. Like that's just standard issue, and I get to have some fun with that. And that's why I'm learning to cook and taking different cooking classes. So I get to mix it up and have some more. So the question was, can I talk about my experience with 6 and 7? So 6 is, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, and 7 is humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. So 6 and 7, thank you for the question. The one thing I learned with 6 is like, what are my defects of character? And so one of my first sponsors like made me write out like, perfectionism, and like look it up in the dictionary to really see what that means. So I remember looking them up and seeing how they come out in life, and when am I irritable? When am I trying to be perfect? And just like it came with the food. Like I had to acknowledge that that is just part of who I am, and I have to be like, our character defects are like the middle, sorry, people can't see it, but like it's like the middle. You have volume on low and volume on high, or overdrive. And when my character defects are, like perfectionism is kind of good in my line of work, but when it's on overdrive, that's when I feel like, you know, I look at my socks, I'm like, oh, my socks are wrong, you know? Or I'm like, my car isn't clean. And that's when my character defects are on overdrive. But like it's important to make sure all my I's are dotted and T's are crossed when it's appropriate. And so that's something I really get to work on often, is like, okay, put your character defects on overdrive. And that's where I get to use my God box. Like I put down, you know, please remove my perfectionism, because I'm not of service to you and to my fellows. And that's kind of where I really get to turn it over and find, you know, and it's the usual suspects for me, you know, and it just kind of comes up in a different way, or I can see that, and I get to work different things around it, like, you know, putting in the God box is my main thing, but like trying to have compassion for what's upsetting me. So like if someone, like usually, how do I say that? But just try to like see the different perspective and see what behind it is, what maybe is driving them. Because when I was in my disease, like of course I wasn't present. I'm like this. I'm like, I'm mad because like the fast food is taking too long. And I yelled at the counter servant, the person at the counter, because my food took too long. And so like I just get to have compassion and like, okay, this is just my disease talking, or kind of seeing where that's at. Is that good? Okay. So the question was, how has program changed my relationships? And I also have to say that I'm in Al-Anon, so that's also helped. But some things I learned in program is, like, I get to be a person of dignity. You know, if I'm going to be there at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be there at 5 o'clock. I don't have any family here, but I send birthday cards. And that's something I've never done before. And, like, really get to, you know, think of others. Because I am very I don't mean to be, but I'm very self-centered and self-focused. And so this is where I get to, like, put others first. And so I went out on a date last night for bowling, and he's like, do you want to do another game? I'm like, well, please be honest with me. Tell me what you want so we can decide together, like, if we want to continue bowling. And so, like, getting down to basics, like, I don't care if you do or don't, but just be honest about what you feel. And from an honest answer, we can move together in a direction that will work for both of us and not just for me or not just for the other person. And so I actually went to Costa Rica with my sister, and, I can't believe how smooth it went. It's because the program has Tommy, we get to work together on this, and it's not all about me, and we both get tired, and just be like, okay, I'm just tired. How can we work together? And before program, I never heard that, and it's kind of like, just in other relationships, like at work, there's new people at work. I'm like, hi, my name's, Colleen. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you. And that small token of saying hello to the new people or the people that are just there for the day, or to know they can come and ask me questions, is a huge thing. So I can see the small things in life. So I know that they're, in my relationships. And, I call my dad, and he talks about the weather and his, toes, but I still call, the fact that I'm making an effort is there, and he can see the effort, so that, I before program is all about counting the calories, making the graphs, screw anybody else. And so just program has definitely taught me how to move through that.
How'd you work step four?
The question was, how did I work step four? And step four is made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And I've done step four a couple different ways. The first time I was in program, there's like this little white book they had, and it's like a 10,000 questions. And I did a question a day on that. I've also done it, and as you go through them, they become different. They're not like this huge, extensive forceps anymore. But so I think what's good about asking the questions, and I actually do a lot of mini forceps. That's what I tend to do now, is I do a lot of mini forceps. So if I have the same resentment, like, oh, God, so-and-so is doing this, then I get to write, that's why I use a mini forcep. And it's like, who I resent, why, what the reason is for, what's my part in it, am I resentful, do I have expectations about that, because that's a lot of what I eat over, is I have an unconscious expectation of what the other person should be doing. So then I, of course, resentments are resentments are premeditated expectations. And so if I already think it's going to be this way and it doesn't happen this way, of course I'm going to be resentful. And so, and I've added actually a fifth column, which is what's historical about this. Because for example, back in high school, people used to call me cow and weren't very nice to me and things like that. And so, I call them the snotty girls group. And so when that happened in grade school and in high school, and then now when it happens at work, like this little pack of snotty girls are around, and they don't include me in their activities, like that's for me historical. It's not necessarily that they are being rude to me now, but it's because I've had a situation where people were snotty to me in the past, called me cow, all these things. And so when I'm like overreacting, it's usually because of something in the past. It's not necessarily, it is about the present as well, but it's usually because I didn't react and respond then. I went to the food instead of being able to do a mini four-step about it. The question is, how have I worked through fear? And fear is definitely a big one for me. Fear of not doing it right, fear of being imperfect, fear, all of that. And what I usually do is I write it down and I put it in my God box. when like the, so if I'm fear that whatever, I like fold it up, put it in my God box, or even like burn it. Like I have to physically turn it over and let God take care of it. Because I mean, I think like if I can do any kind of, if I think I can fix it, it's not going to help. So my God box is kind of full. And I also pray about it, and I ask, you know, God to give me the tools I need to, and the light and the spirit, and to show me the path I need to do to get there. And of course, I do this all imperfectly, and I can talk to others about it because I really need to hear what other people's experience, strength, and hope about what they're going through. And so I keep coming back to meetings because I hear like how they work through their fear. So I talk to others about it. I pray, meditate. When I meditate, I just kind of relax and like, you know, show me the path I need to go. And so sometimes it comes through meditation. Sometimes it comes through words of others. All right. Thanks for letting me share.